kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
I have a title today for our teaching. I'm not sure whether there may be several with this. I don't know. It depends how the Lord leads on this. But I have a title which we're going to talk about, and that is, we are His workmanship. We are His workmanship. And I'm basing this from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2 and verse 10. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10. And we're calling this, we are His workmanship. And the apostle says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. And all of this is in the context of the apostle speaking about how we are saved by grace, and that how we walk by faith, trusting in these blessings that God has given to us. So that is where he's coming from, and he's revealing that we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Have you ever wondered why it was that Jesus, as he began to grow up, took on a trade as a carpenter? There are a number of jobs that he could have done, but you see, he is walking by the Spirit, and everything that was happening and working in Jesus's life was all for a purpose, because Jesus was also his workmanship being worked in him by his Heavenly Father. And I think it rather apt that out of all trades, he could have been a farmer looking after sheep or whatever, but no, he was working with his hands, he was working with wood, he was creating something, he was making something. And I think that gives an indication of what our Lord's future lied for him, that our Father was going to work through him after his death and resurrection. We can very often see these parallels. We can often see what is being done on earth is a type of what is being achieved and done in heaven. That is why, of course, we pray the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So our lives have to match that which is in the heavenlies, in which God has decreed before the foundation of the world. And the second thing that comes to mind with regard to we being his workmanship, God is the only one who can create something out of nothing. No one else can do that. We will look at this later on in our study, but I'm saying this now in pass. You say to me, well, what about the enemy, the devil? The devil cannot create. Only God can create. The devil can only use that which God has created. And he can beguile and deceive. He has power, yes, but he does not have power to create something out of nothing. Only God is supreme. He is the only one who has all power in which to create, by speaking the word, something out of nothing. We know this because it opens up with the book of Genesis. Right at the beginning, in chapter 1, we see a miracle-working God creating the world, man, out of nothing. No one else has that power and authority to do that. And that is why the Apostle Paul is so confident in this verse, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So in our study, we need to remind ourselves of what I've just introduced this teaching to you about, and that God creates. He creates something out of nothing. He speaks the word into being. The powers of darkness, the enemy, do not have that authority. And that is what God did in our lives when he stopped us in our tracks and he said, "That is enough, you go no further. I am going to create something in your life. I am going to speak the word in your life." This is why I am so firm, so hot on Christians knowing and experiencing the new created birth in their lives. Something supernatural has happened in your life. You are not the same when God speaks the word into your life through his Son, Jesus Christ. If we lose sight of this, we no longer have a Christian gospel to preach. And sadly, this is under attack now by the powers of darkness. But praise God, he's got a remnant. How do we know? Because we are his workmanship, created in Christ, and he's working day and night, endlessly conforming us into the image of his Son. And so here we are, we open up with this verse, as it's not saying that you're a good person. I've gone to church today. I've said my prayers, I've read my verses, I've listened to my devotion. All of these can have their place, and certainly we should go to church, certainly we should read our Bibles. Or we can say, I've changed my ways. I was wrong, I did things wrong, but I'm now going to be good. I'm now going to change my ways. I will live a better life. No, you won't. Don't even try. Don't even attempt. Unless you become a new creation, supernaturally born again, it will never happen. There's an old saying, isn't it, that the pathway to hell is paved with good intentions, and we've all made them. We've all made those promises. We've all made those New Year resolutions. Oh, I'm going to give up on this, or abstain from that, or whatever it is, only to find in a few weeks, few months later, we're back to the old self. Because your nature has to be changed. Otherwise, your nature is as it is through the fall of man, and you can't change. There is only one who can change us, and that is Almighty God, by speaking the creative word in your life and my life. And that is the grace and mercy of God. And that is why none of us can be here today who can boast in any of this. God had mercy on me, O wretched sinner that I am. And those who are truly touched by that, and when they say those words in true humility and sincerity, they know the grace and mercy of God on their lives. You see, today we live in a society where everyone sadly is so proud and arrogant that to receive this gift from God, they are offended. How dare you say that I'm not clean in God's sight, that I'm a sinner, I was conceived in sin. They are offended. That's why they don't want to receive this gift, the greatest gift ever given to mankind, because that is what pride will do. Pride likes to give gifts, but pride doesn't like to receive gifts. Certainly not God's gift. And this is why when God works that new creative power in our lives, the first thing he starts to work on is this pride, this independent spirit that I will do it my way. Why am I laboring this? Because the title says we are his workmanship. This is about being a new creation, brothers and sisters. Let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, which says, by which we have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lusts. So God has decreed that you partake of his nature, in his likeness. Now that is a miracle. That is not something the devil can do. He can try and counterfeit it in a religious way, but he doesn't have the power to do that. Only Almighty God, who speaks the word in your life, the same power he spoke in the world, the stars, the earth, creating man, the same word that he spoke in power is the same word he speaks into your life and my life, and we become a new creation. For his word will not return unto him void, but will go forth and accomplish that wherewith he sends it to, the word says. So it's about the life of God that's come into my soul, that has created Christ in me. And that is what he's done. He's not made you a better person. He's not tried to patch you up where you have a lying problem or you have a problem with lusts or whatever it is. No. He creates into your soul, into your life, the image of his Son, through the Holy Spirit, through the new birth. That is why I say so much, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. This is why you decrease, that Christ increase now in your life. And that is the work he's doing. That is why we are his workmanship. His workmanship is creating the image of his Son in your life and my life. Why his Son? Because the only one he can look at is his Son. He cannot look at you and I in the state that we were. No way. If God were to just for a second look at us, we would burn up instantly. He can only see us through his Son, who overcame all things, even the power of death and the sting of death and sin. he can only now see that lamb slain from the foundation of the world, offered up, holy, righteous. He can only see us in him. And he has given him all authority, all dominion, and whoever he chooses to confess before our Heavenly Father, our Father will not even question. He will not even say, well, my son, are you sure about this person you want to save? Doesn't even do that. He has such trust. There's such oneness in the Godhead that they all agree. And this is why I opened up at the beginning that I don't think it was coincidental that Christ became a carpenter. That was all preparing him to show with his physical hands what he could make, how out in the future God would create through him by the spoken word. It is God who makes Christians, not us, not a denomination, not a bishop, not an organization, not at all. It is only God who can make Christians, and he creates and makes something out of nothing. And here is the miracle, that he makes us alive. He puts that new nature. We become a new creation. I don't apologize for preaching things that probably you've heard or you know about. We need to come back many times to the basics. We need to not forget the gospel message, salvation, this good news. We can so easily forget this. This is what this world needs to hear. This is where they will be saved. They will not be saved by hearing your testimony or how God even got you out of a trial. We all like to talk about those things, and they have their right place. They come to God when they start to hear that he paid the price for sin, and that only God can speak the word into our lives, and that we become a new creation. For he's the only God who can perform miracles. Then you begin to get their attention. We need to know how to share this word with a dying world. The power is in the word of God. Not in our philosophical thoughts or ideas. It is in the word of God. The sword is the word of God. The sword is needed in their lives to divide that sin. And let the Holy Spirit do the rest. He knows how to do it. Now, what is it saying in Ephesians 4, verse 24? Ephesians 4, verse 24, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. There it is. Created in God. You and I are God's new creation in Christ Jesus. That is why when it's so wonderful we come together in fellowship, we come together, we are God's new created family. We're not like the world. We're not of the world, although we're in it. The world don't see this. The world doesn't understand it. Your family doesn't understand this until God touches their life. What does it mean by this, that you are made new after the pattern of his son? Everything now is created after the pattern of Jesus Christ. Nothing else, nothing more, nothing less. Everything is created in his likeness and pattern. That is why he said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come back to you. What does this mean, brothers and sisters? I make so much of the Holy Spirit because the Holy Spirit is the one who creates Christ in us, the pattern of his Son. And we've got so much of Christendom today is so blind to the work of the Holy Spirit. They don't understand why he has come back, baptizing us in power. For that very purpose, to create his Son in us. And this is all achievable, and it is done by his grace and mercy. None of us deserve this. It is his mercy and grace upon our lives. We cannot look at this in any other way. There are preachers and writers on the Word of God trying to write this in another way. Trying to exalt the pride of man, the independence of man. And you can't. You have to start with Jesus Christ, and everything flows and follows from there. You try and start from yourself, or elevating some preacher or minister or church or whatever it is, and you fall always into that trap of idolatry, which plagues the church, plagues Christians, plagued the saints in the Gospels. It plagued Israel as a nation, idolatry, because they never started with God. They started with man, self, and that's always happens through unbelief, when we do not believe in the promises of God's word. And we stand on God and we obey what God tells us to do. This is always what happens. Do you know that every atom that God spoke into being is ordained before creation? Ordained so that we are prepared beforehand to walk in them. Everything from the microscopic smallest thing of your life to every breath you breathe, every eye that blinks, everything that you look at, everything was prepared before the foundation of the world, that you should walk in it. Mind-boggling. You can't even begin to comprehend. You can't even take it in. This is what our God has done. And that's what he says back in Ephesians 2:10. So then, what is our view then of this new nature that we have received in Jesus Christ? What is my view then on this? Well, my whole body, my whole being, my whole walk, my relationships, my attitudes, my motives, everything changes. I am no longer the same. When God speaks that creative power into your life, that you become a new creation in Christ, you change. You are no longer yourself anymore. There is a power that is taking over in your life that is conforming you now into the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. And you know that. You know that you know that you know. Because flesh and blood cannot do this. The world cannot do this. Only Almighty God, who spoke the word in the beginning, is the same God who speaks the word into your life and my life. And that's why we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ. And do you know what this does, brothers and sisters? It takes all the limits off us from trying to be good. Trying to be a Christian, trying to do the right thing, trying to love and everything. It delivers us from all of that. Because I've said so many times, being a Christian isn't about trying, it's about being. It is what God has made us. And that's why it's such a good news, is it not, brothers and sisters? Well, very well. Let's take this a step further. We've already begun to introduce that we are his workmanship. In other words, we're being made. He's a workman that is active. So God's life on us, the overcomers, this deeper life teaching that God has given to us, the bride that he's preparing now, he is a workman and he's active. We know this when man fell. What did God do? God had to provide and cover Adam and Eve. We immediately see the workmanship of God in action. The call of Abraham. God called him to walk a walk. He showed him a land. There, God is a workman working in his life so that he would be a man of faith. So that we too can be men and women of faith after the seed of Abraham. There is the workmanship of God. Then God gave the law. And the law was a tutor, was a means of bringing God's people to grace, to mercy. Because only God's Son could fulfill and keep the demands of the law. Here again, we see his workmanship. His workmanship was the instructions on building the tabernacle, which he revealed through Moses that they were to build, because that was to be the presence of God to the children of Israel. Here we see the workmanship, God guiding men, skilled with their hands to create and make this tabernacle for God's presence. And then under Solomon, the building of the temple. Again, we see the workmanship, the active side of God. And then, of course, the sending of his Son, redeeming mankind. God is active, brothers and sisters. There are times when it seems as though he's not. It seems as though he's not active in my life, or he doesn't seem to be active in the church. He seems to be a million miles away. He doesn't seem to be answering my prayers and so on. Oh, God is active. He just doesn't work in our time scale. He doesn't work in our limited mind and thinking. Far, far greater and infinite than that. You see, God is in the process of finishing. God is in the process of finishing that work which he has started in your life and my life in this world. What he has worked and achieved and done in this life, the moment we are raptured, we are caught away, that is done for this world. And then it will continue throughout eternity. It will never stop his workmanship. He will still be active. You will be active. You will be part of his life, active throughout eternity. But for this life, it will come to completion. That is why I'm so hot on coming to perfection. It means completion. In this life, God will complete and he will show you how active he has been. He is that workman working in your life, my life. And what is he doing now? He's getting us ready as the bride. He's getting us ready for the rapture. That is his workmanship. That is his goal for the church, has been since Pentecost. He's in the process of finishing this now, just like an artist. As you know, God has blessed me in being an artist. And one of the things that I find challenging as an artist, and it's no easier after all these years, is knowing when a painting's finished. That is always the biggest challenge to any artist. There has to come a point when you don't touch it anymore. Because I've done this, I've carried on, I thought, well, I'll do a little bit here and a little bit there, and the next thing I know is I've messed it up. We have a saying as artists, less is more. Well, I understand that a bit. And here we are, look at Almighty God. He knows when to, that is enough. And it will be perfect, complete, done in our lives. Now you might not think it is, but God sees differently. We understand it all, don't we? Like the potter. I often give this analogy, where the potter has that lump of old grey clay. And there he's working, moulding, perfecting, creating this vessel fit for use. Exactly the same. That's what we are in God's hands. And he's doing all of this after the likeness of his Son in Jesus Christ. You know, he has brought something into being that was not there before. Did you know that in your life? That is why your life is a miracle. I'm going to give that to you again. He has brought something into being that was not there before. It wasn't there in your life or my life, and he has brought it into being by speaking the word. That's why I do not believe when you hear in politics or governments, particularly in the West and certainly in this country, oh, this is a Christian nation. There's no such thing. They may have Christian values, Christian laws. We know Magna Carta was signed after principles of the Bible. But there is no such thing as a Christian nation for this very thing that I'm saying. Because you have to become a new creation. When you start using terms like that, it starts to water down the miraculous side of God. And we've all done it and said it. But it's not, certainly not now, with the falling away. What does 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6 say? 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 6. For it is the God who commanded light to shine out of darkness and has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. There we are. It is God who has spoken the word in your life and my life. He has commanded his light to shine in you where there was darkness. And this is why I make so much, brothers and sisters, about prayer and our warfare. God, who has given us his light, we now can go into warfare, warring against the powers of darkness for the light of God to shine in that situation. How do the people begin to see otherwise? And that is why the enemy always works in darkness. The God of this world, it says he blinds the eyes of them from seeing. And God has given us authority through the light that he has spoken into our lives, that we can also, with that light in our prayers and intercessions, war against the powers of darkness, that that light will shine, that they will see. Because all the while we are doing this, all the while the church is praying this, we are keeping at bay the powers of darkness from finally taking over. We are seeing all the signs of the Antichrist system coming. We're seeing it all in technology and so on. It's all there. But God has given us that authority to pray this, to bind this. Because he is the light of the world through Jesus Christ. You would not be seeing, nor I, had it not been for this light shining in our lives that was once dark. And when you begin to understand that, and if you are truly experiencing his light, then you know what to do with that light. Because that light has changed you. That light's been able to make you see. And to see the powers of darkness. And to see what the God of this world is doing. And you pray that into being. But if you have fear in your heart, you do not understand it. Because fear makes you react and not act. And there's the difference. And that is why we are his workmanship and he's delivering us from all those problems that we can still have. And let him do it. He knows what he's doing. And all of this work he does through what? Through his Son, Jesus Christ. Because we receive his life. It's not about me or you anymore. It's about his life. It's what pleases him. It's believing him. We allow him to deal with that independent spirit that still wants its own way. And I'm still going to do my own thing. That is what pride does. And that pride will stop you receiving. Because pride doesn't like receiving. Pride likes to give. Because when you give, you are in control. You are being elevated. You are being acknowledged. And all of that has to go. And it goes when God opens your eyes to what you were. A wretched, miserable sinner. Defiled in his sight. And when that light comes into your life, it just breaks you. It just leaves you speechless. that God could have mercy on me. That is the good news of the Christian gospel. He is forming his life in you, and we must not hinder that life being formed in us in any way or form. And whatever hindrances still are in our lives, just let him deliver us. And you say to me, how do I get deliverance? You get it by these meetings. You get it under the anointing. You get it by the sword of the Spirit. That's how he does it. He does nothing other than through his word, by the Spirit. You can look for other means. That's why I keep saying to go to the arm of the flesh is stupid, foolish. God does everything through the word of God, by the power of the Spirit. And all of those who are really walking with God, we're all thrown onto that. I am thrown onto that. I am going through a trial at the moment, and that is between me and God. And that trial I'm going through throws me onto his word and the power of his Spirit. And that God will bring me through the same as he's bringing you through. Do you think I'm exempt from all of this because I'm a mouthpiece? No. God tries it a lot with me. He allows me to go through many things to experience what I share with you and to know that it works. Oh, yes, the devil gets so very active, so very loud. And he tries to work that fear, and he tries to get you to mentally start assimilating and work it out. Well, you've got the power to cast it down in Jesus' name. He isn't going to do it. He's achieved that at Calvary. I refuse that. I do not accept that. Depart from me, Satan, in Jesus' name. And he does, and he will. Oh, it is a warfare. But guess what? That's how you get a stronger faith. And that's what faith needs. How will you know otherwise? What does it say in Galatians 4, verse 19? Galatians 4 and verse 19. My little children, for whom I labour in birth again until Christ is formed in you. That's what a preacher does. He labours. He stays with it. He doesn't give up on them. Whatever happens, a minister will stay with God's people for the very purpose to see Christ formed in them. That's what you look for in a preacher. That's what tells you if he's called of God or not. And he does all of this through his word. Let's remind ourselves in James chapter 1, verse 18. James chapter 1 and verse 18. Of his own will he brought us forth by the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. So how does he bring us forth? Quite clear, by the word of truth. And that is his workmanship in your life and my life. And he does it through the word of truth. Because he said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They may not know every jot and tittle, but they know that is God speaking. And that is what I need if I'm to make it through. That is where God is going to work in my life both to will and do for his good pleasure. You know it. What does 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 25 say? 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 25, but the word of the Lord endures forever. There will never be a time when the word of God will be not. It will always be throughout eternity. So, what is it then that God is working and achieving in us? We are his workmanship, and he does this through the power of his word. But we also know that he's doing this through the fivefold ministry in Ephesians 4, the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, for the maturing and perfecting of the ministries. You know I've given this analogy before, but it's like we're being trained in a gymnasium. Now, we know the Apostle Paul uses this, and when the Greeks, the Hellenists, were being trained for the Olympics, one of the things that they did with somebody who was training as an athlete in the gym, the first thing they had to do was remove all their clothes. And then they were ready to start to be trained. And that is what God does with us. He gets us into that spiritual gymnasium, and the first thing he does is he strips us. He takes all the camouflage off. He takes all the things that we hide behind off, and that we stand naked in him. But you know what? When you are naked, you're not ashamed. Like we would be physically naked, we would be ashamed. But when we're in the presence of God, we're not ashamed. Do you know why? Because he knows us. He created us. He formed us. And at that, of course, was to be the relationship Adam and Eve were to have. That's why they didn't know that they were naked. It didn't even enter their mind, their thinking. It wasn't until sin entered they realized then they were naked. And look how God's restoring us back. And he gets us into that spiritual gymnasium. And the first thing is the clothes all come off. But guess what? You don't run away. You're not ashamed. Because then God can start to work on us. The same analogy we give as the army of God. We're in his army being trained. We have the generals, commanders, taking us through drill. Every day we go through the same thing. You may not use all of that you're being taught, but you are trained to such perfection. And it's interesting. I spoke about Christ being a carpenter. Well, you look at a carpenter, just to take that trade, look at the various tools that he has to use in which to make and create whatever it would be. Many who are in engineers, they have to use tools. Although the tragedy now is that they are losing less and less tools. As we know, AI, artificial intelligence, is taking over. But that is from the pit. That's demonic. But God made our hands to create things because we're made in his likeness. Our hands, if you look at them, they are amazing what they can do. And so the workman has these variety of tools, and each of those tools are to do a various job. The same with God, what he's doing with you and I. So what is the design of God's workmanship? Well, it is that we should walk in his likeness, walk in what he has created and made me to be. That's why we walk by faith. That is why he has sent the Holy Spirit. I walk how God has created and made me. That's why we're all different. That's why God has set different gifts in the church, different abilities, because we are his workmanship. We have been created in his image, how he wants us and wants us to function, you see. This is why it's important you know that and get into that. That's why we walk in it. What does it say again? Let's just read it again back in Ephesians 2 verse 10. He says, "For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should" what? "Walk in them." That's in this life. Walking in what God has done gives God all the glory. It tells the world out there, you are his workmanship. They may not like it, but that's what it reveals. That's what it says. And that's what we walk in. That's why we're not robots. And that's what the devil does. And that is what he's trying to do through technology. And through AI, he wants to try and control us and make us like robots. But hey, guess what? The word of God says, if the Son sets you free, you are free indeed. He's made us to be active. That's why we have the parable of the talents. And it's the one who hid his talent. And what made him hide? Fear. That's why God has to deliver us from fear, because you will not know those talents otherwise, and you will not be able to multiply them. And it's all for this life, for the glory of God. We're his workmanship because he's working his love in us so that we love one another unconditionally. He's working in his church, he's working in us because he sanctified our lives. He has separated us from the world. We are his workmanship because he's working sonship into us, where we cry out, Abba, Father. He's working perfection in us. All of this indicates that we are his workmanship. And as I bring this to a close, let's look in Philippians. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. He completes that which he starts. Many saints know they have come to that place in their old age. They have run the race. They've done the course. Why, even the apostles spoke of that. And simply wait for the Lord to take them home. Well, we know the Lord's doing a quicker work now. He really is doing a quick work in perfecting, working now in saints, because the time is so short. So the question I raise then, brothers and sisters, are you his workmanship? Do you know that? Do I desire his godliness in me? Do I want his word in my life? Do I want to forgive my enemy? Am I hungering for righteousness? Am I putting his kingdom first? These are just some of the godly things that he's put within our lives that should be ever increasing and getting stronger. Why? Because we are his workmanship. Heavenly Father, thank you. Lord, there are no words. Everything that we say, I say, just seems so inadequate, but you've given us a language. And Lord, we just thank you from the depths of our heart that you first loved us. There was nothing in us that moved you in any way or convinced you that we were worth saving. Not at all. You chose to save us. Why? We will never know. But Lord, all we know is that all the while we have breath in our lungs, we will praise you, we will thank you, we will glorify you, we will lift holy hands in your presence, and we will lay our lives before you that you continue to do that work. For you are the master's hands. You are the one that is moulding and changing us into your likeness. And Lord, we thank you for this. And so, Father, thank you again for our fellowship. Thank you for bringing my brothers and sisters from around the world to this place today to hear your word. Lord, bless, preserve, keep them. Keep them from the evil one. May their eyes always be looking to Jesus. Give your angels charge over them. And Lord, may we also be sensitive in praying for each other as well. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus.